Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
You're really in the people business and not the property business. So it's most of my success has really been in being able to build trust with sellers and being able to present my offers in a way that relates to solving whatever their problem is.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
Every once in a while, there comes a service that revolutionizes an industry. And I am proud to say that our best ever sponsor, Cozy, is that service for landlords and tenants. Cozy simplifies the rental process for everyone. Simply put, Cozy makes it easy to collect rent online, to screen tenants, to order credit reports, to do all the things that you are currently doing manually, but to automate it so that you can focus on more important things like growing your portfolio this year. The best part is that Cozy is completely free. It's free. There aren't any minimums, there aren't any transaction fees or monthly payments. No other service on the planet offers this to you for free. And one of the things that I love about Cozy is that Cozy automatically collects and transfers the rent so that every month you don't have to worry about forgetful tenants forgetting to pay you the rent. You can actually receive that rent automatically in your bank account, no questions asked. So you can say goodbye to paper checks, late payments, and all those lame excuses. And here's your chance to simplify your life and make more money. Join me and sign up for Cozy at cozy.co. That's cozy.co. Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Brian Reed. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Great to be here.
Great to have you on the show. Brian's joining us from Richmond, Virginia. He's a partner at Top Dollar House Buyers, and he's got a really interesting story. He's a former struggling musician, and as he calls it, a lab rat at Philip Morris. He's been in real estate for 10 plus years. His first deal was at 25, and he's now done over 100 plus transactions without bank loans, and 90% of those, so I can do a quick math, about 90 of them have been within the last 5 years. He controls over $8 million of real estate, and his specialty is really seller financing, lease purchase options, subject to, and he works with private investors to give them an interest rate secured by the properties that he's working on. So tremendous experience, active in the space, raising money, the perfect storm of a perfect best ever guest. So with that being said, Brian, can you give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Sure, absolutely. Like I said, Joe, it's an honor to be here. I really did enjoy listening to a lot of the interviews you've had with a lot of your other guests and tons of great advice. I know I'm always still learning. A little background with me. I moved to Richmond probably maybe about 15 years ago or so. And my goal at the time was I was just interested in trying to play music for a living. And I had a background in biology, so I ended up working at a lab at Philip Morris. Was the only place I could get a job at the time. And I really didn't know anything about investing or real estate, or I just kind of thought, hey, people who were wealthy just kind of got lucky or just landed in the right field, and as naive as that sounds. But I was recommended to read a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, like a lot of other people have. And that just kind of broadened my awareness a little bit that you can make money in more than one way. And so my goal initially to get into investing was that I found out real quickly it was real tough to live on rice and beans, trying to make a living as a rock star, which wasn't really happening for me. And I didn't love my job at the time, working the normal 9-to-5 and in the lab. So it just kind of made sense to me that you could buy a property and lease it out and generate some passive income that way. And so only problem was I didn't know anything at the time. So I just dove right in, just trying to learn as much as possible and getting my feet wet, reading every book I could, meeting with other investors, taking any classes, and until eventually I ended up leaving my job and just built a full-time business around buying property.
How do you build a full-time business around buying property? And I know that is such a loaded question, so I'm just going to let you tackle it from a high level, and if there are any learnings along the way that you'd like to share.
Sure, absolutely. I've kind of looked at real estate more as being more a real estate entrepreneur than an investor, so to speak. I mean, initially, all it was based around was looking at what my expenses were first and figuring out how I could make that same amount of income with housing as opposed to having to go to a normal job. And so that's where I just started looking at different strategies and focusing first on building cash now. And that was mainly through either purchasing houses to fix up and flip initially. And that evolved into more doing more seller finance transactions where I was buying properties without having to come out of pocket with a lot of funds and then selling them to people who couldn't get traditional financing and collecting down payments to replace that income I was getting from my job. That's how it started.
Based on your experience from being a lab rat at Philip Morris to being a struggling, and now I'm sure you're still a musician, but you're not struggling anymore, to really growing your own company with your business partner in Richmond, Virginia, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
When it comes to doing any quote creative or seller financed strategies, which is mostly what I focus in, assuming that someone already knows how to evaluate a deal or run the numbers, the first piece of advice would be to realize that you're really in the people business and not the property business. So it's most of my success has really been in being able to build trust with sellers and being able to present my offers in a way that relates to solving whatever their problem is. So really just practice being able to communicate value in your offers, and that's through either a presentation, giving them actual materials, and really just practicing the way you use words when you communicate. I've really found that words do make a difference, and what comes out of your mouth really can determine what goes into your bank account.
Love that. Love the focus on people business versus the property. And I think you can apply that to residents and landlords as well. So after you have a property and you're trying to find a tenant or multiple tenants, if you have a larger property, how do you help the people solve the problem that they have, where they're looking for a better place to live. They're looking for a cheaper place to live. They're looking for a more convenient place to live. And based on what they're looking for, how do you position that whenever you're speaking to them, the words that you choose to speak to them with, and the materials that you use to educate them on how it's a solution to their problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you raise money, because you control over $8 million of real estate, and when you go through the raising money process, how do you approach the potential investors through that mentality of people business, not property business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's not too often that we really need to raise capital for properties. But when we do, initially, I just like to have a conversation with somebody and just find out kind of what their goals are, if it gets into the topic of investing or wealth building, things that they want to do for their family. And I tell them a little bit of a story about some ways that we've helped some of our other investors. Just one of the biggest things is that a lot of our investors really love the fact that they get to invest in real estate without any of the hands-on headaches or dirty work or anything like that, and that they can get a better return than a lot of banks do with a lot more security because they're investing at really low loan-to-values. And then I usually find people kind of ask me more questions about how they could do something like that. Or I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. You start with the goal of what they're trying to accomplish. So you hear what they're looking for. Then you talk about previous people you've worked with whose goals you've helped them accomplish through what you're doing. And then that naturally segues into the person you're speaking to, talking about helping them reach their own goals through your company. So it makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Ready for the best ever lightning round?
Bring it on.
Best ever listeners, it's 2015, and wouldn't you like to simplify the landlording process and automate it as much as possible while making more money along the way? It's a landlord's dream, right? With online rent payments, applications, and secure credit reports, Cozy makes being a landlord incredibly easy. And best of all, it's completely free. Sign up for Cozy at cozy.co. That's COZY.co. Best ever book you've read?
I read a book not too long ago called 80/20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. And that's been a book that's really helped grow my business lately. And I think can apply just about anything in your life where you're really focusing on that small amount of whatever you're doing that's really bringing in the most output.
Absolutely. Love that book. Have that on my shelf and reference that all the time. Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it?
I adopted a daughter a few years ago. That's been a huge personal growth experience. I mean, just having that accountability and for someone else, and just the constant reminder that life is bigger than just me. It just having a daughter in my life, she's really just kind of shined a spotlight more on the kind of person I really am, and also the kind of person I really want to be. So not just with the material successes I want to achieve in life.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Having a daily morning ritual. I find that the way that I start my day really determines how I end the day and carry myself throughout it. So I really like to start my day in a quiet place where I just really take some time and imagine exactly what the most successful day would look like for my business for the day. And as I'm writing a to-do list, I actually write out my accomplishments as if they're already completed. And I think this really just has a positive effect on the way that your subconscious influences the way that you take action throughout the day.
So when you're writing your to-do list, you're writing what you've want to do, but you're writing it as though it's already been done.
Exactly. So, for example, if I have a meeting with a seller where I'm putting together an offer, I would actually write out. I had a very successful meeting with Joe Seller. They're excited about my offer, and we've put together a contract together. something like that.
Oh, I love that. I like that for two reasons. One, it visualizes what you want to have happen. And two, you're focused on outcomes.
Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so easy to go into a meeting and have a conversation and it just be a great conversation. But then at the end, it's like, okay, well, what did we actually accomplish? What was the outcome of this? You know, sure, we established a great rapport, but what were the tangible things that we got and were accomplished? And I love that. I'm actually going to pick that trait up, if that's okay, and do that with my to-do list from now on.
Sure. I don't have a patent on it.
Okay, good. Best ever deal you've done?
It was probably, there was a property here in Richmond. It was worth about $500,000. After talking with the seller, ended up purchasing the property for about $460,000with no money down, and the seller held 0% interest-free financing. They owned it free and clear. And so prior to actually closing on the property, I'd secured our buyer occupant who was going to buy the property on a land contract at 6% interest with $65,000 down as a down payment. And we raised some capital from a private investor, secured them with a small first mortgage, which covered all our costs that we had, as well as pulling out a little upfront profit. And the seller was held with the second mortgage. So the day we bought the property, we walked away from the closing table the day it was bought with right around $75,000 net profit. And with the occupant in place, after all the underlying expenses, it was probably just under $1,000 a month in real net cash flow. That's been going on for a few years now, and we should get a really nice six-figure back-end profit as well when they end up refinancing for a bank loan in the near future.
Best ever quote?
I really like a quote by Ford that said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in real estate, Brian?
Well, I'm not going to pretend that I've never made any mistakes, Joe. There's probably a long list of them, especially when I was first starting out. But I do remember that early on, I did put a guy in a property who had a really good story, but didn't have any references I could check out. I didn't get a proper background check or a significant down payment. And so after my negligence, I got to enjoy months of no payments, multiple court visits, a lot of property damage I had to take care of. And I learned real quick that it's often the occupant that's really the asset, not the house. And you need to trust, but also verify. So if you don't, it comes back to bite you.
And what's the best ever place to reach you?
Probably just email is simple for right now. My email is Brian, that's with an I, B-R-I-A-N, at TDH Buyers. So that's like topdollarhousebuyers.com.
Thank you so much, Brian, for being on the show. And I think it's really fascinating how you approach the business. And there's a lesson to be learned in how you focus on the people. You're in the people business, not the property business. Every time I listen to Mark Cuban, he's always like, know what type of business you're in. Know the business you're in. He talks about how whenever he first took over the Mavericks, that people asked him, okay, what business are we in? You're in the basketball business. Like, no, I'm not in the basketball business. I'm in the entertainment business. And we're going to approach the experience of going to a Mavs game as an entertainment experience. And so often real estate investors, and I'm grouping myself into this category, we get sucked into the property business, but really the people are behind the properties. And you've illustrated that throughout your career. And then even that last part, whenever we were talking about the mistake that you made, you mentioned that it's the occupant who's the asset, not the house. So I think that's the theme for me speaking to you. And I think that's a lifelong theme to keep, not only with real estate, but also, you know, with any business that you're in. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon and appreciate you spending time with Best Ever Listeners.
Great. Take care, Joe.
Hey, you, Best Ever Listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.